It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. Governor Tony Evers' budget plan seeks a $2.6 billion increase for K-12 schools. The legislature's budget committee, Joint Finance, is now crafting its own plan for funding education. Be part of our conversation about state funding for schools. Call in with your question, your comments, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jill Underley is State Superintendent of Public Instruction. Superintendent Underley, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, let's start with mental health. Reaction there, the legislature's budget committee rejecting the plan by Governor Evers to hike state funding for mental health programs in schools. What is your reaction to that decision?
It's really disheartening. When I talk to parents and when I talk to kids, but mostly parents, and I ask them what their number one concern is in our schools, they always say mental health. And that has been true this past year of the pandemic. It was true when I was a superintendent in the schools. So it's just really, it's too bad.
What will happen without this funding, cutting $276 million for mental health services in schools? What is the takeaway there?
Yeah, well, schools have been doing what they can, providing they provide counseling when they can. They provide this Band-Aid approach. They apply for competitive grants, which is really too bad also because the needs are so great that we unfortunately are required to have schools compete for money for mental health. So what we'll do is our school districts do what they always do, and they will, do their best to make sure that the needs are met. But kids are going to, kids unfortunately suffer.
Why should schools be providing mental health, addressing mental health concerns, rather than leaving those services to healthcare providers?
Well, the kids are in the schools, right? And when you think about any kind of healthcare, and you have to go someplace to get that healthcare, in a lot of communities, the child would have to miss school. Whereas if the services are provided in school, maybe they miss 20 minutes of a study hall, or they could, provide 20 minutes or half an hour or whatever during another class. And then you eliminate all that travel time. So there's really that out of time component. But the kids are in the school. We know the needs are there. And so the most logical and best way to serve kids is to reach them in the schools.
When you look more broadly at this issue, as students are struggling with mounting anxiety, mounting depression, other mental health struggles, are the current ratios of students, per social worker or per counselor, are they adequate across schools? What is your sense?
No, they're not adequate. Some schools are doing better. Some schools are, right on the money, but it's about one counselor or mental health professional for every 250 students is what the recommendation is. But when you think about what counselors do, school counselors, especially in high school, it's not just mental health, it's, scholarships, it's jobs, it's all those other pieces, to prepare students for life after high school. But, our youth risk behavior survey data showed that we have Wisconsin students who are dealing with mental health challenges far more than ever before. And we know that we have been understaffed in mental health. And so it certainly makes sense that we would be increasing that rather than trying to stay status quo.
We're talking about school funding, K-12 funding, with State Superintendent Jill Underley as budget deliberations heat up at the Capitol. You can join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Superintendent Underley, let's turn to special education. Governor Evers' budget plan would set aside over $1 billion to cover eventually 60% of special education funding. Why are you advocating for more special ed dollars by the state?
Yeah, so the governor's proposal actually improved on the proposal that the department had provided him in our ask. And the reason that we're both, behind this is because our schools currently only get reimbursed around 30%. And that's 30 cents on the dollar for every dollar spent on special education. And special education is one of those funds that we have to make sure that we can't carry a deficit in. So we have to transfer money from other programs. You know, it could be, you know, general education, it could be gift funds, whatever it is, but we can't carry a deficit. So we transfer and borrow from like our other funds, like facilities, you know, improving a roof or, you know, adding on to a classroom or technology in order to make that whole. And it has been stagnant. You know, Wisconsin hasn't been reimbursing schools for these services. And so our schools have been struggling. You see, for example, the number of referendum just for operational costs that is part in that is due in part because of the low reimbursement of special education.
You're stating that, you know, school referendums, a number of those on ballots, the ballot questions coming again and again, that has an impact on special education funding.
Absolutely, because when we only get reimbursed 30%, that 70% has to come, that difference has to come from other funds, mm-hmm. other things that we would have spent money on. So when schools delay, you know, putting a roof on the school because it's, you know, needing to be improved or improving a playground or adding on to the science labs in the high school, they have to make these choices because we have to make sure that that fund is not carrying a deficit at the end of the day. And so schools have to then go ask the community, you know, for these other projects that they've had to defer. We have to get into the mindset that special education is so many things. You know, it is all kids. I mean, kids who receive speech and language help, occupational therapy help, as well as additional time and assistance in the classroom. And we can't treat kids differently. And so anyhow, the long and short of it is our schools have to make up the difference someplace. And so they have to, you know, they're unfortunately having to make these choices on what can be deferred or what they can, you know, address later.
What about the staffing of special education teachers? The National Association of State Directors of Special Education says special ed faces a crisis level shortage of teachers. Would additional state funding address recruitment and retention challenges?
Oh, well, absolutely, because when we increase the rate of special education reimbursement, that's actual revenue that the schools will be able to hang on to in their regular budget. They could use that, you know, for recruitment strategies. They could use that to increase teacher pay. They could use that to add, you know, staff. You know, we look at individuals who assist teachers, like teachers' aides. You know, they certainly are not paid as well as we would like either. And so, you know, in a competitive job market, we need to make sure that we're able to deploy these strategies that will help, you know, attract and retain people into the profession. But special education, certainly there's a shortage, crisis level, as you said, but all, you know, all positions in education right now are struggling with recruitment.
Beth from Milton called in, is a teacher and advocate for universal free lunch, and wonders, is universal free lunch a possibility in this budget cycle?
I certainly hope so. I think it makes complete sense. You look at other states that were able to pass that following the COVID emergency relief funds when we had provided free breakfast and lunch to all kids. Breakfast and lunch, making sure kids have food in their bellies helps them focus on learning. You know, there's so many things that show that they have better behavior, better attention, better focus. They're ready to learn. It also eliminates that stigma between the kids who can pay, you know, whose families are able to provide them lunch or, you know, and those who can't. And teachers are really behind this, school administrators. It makes total sense. Excuse me, we provide transportation to school to kids, you know, we provide busing. We don't base it on whether they can pay, you know, for a bus or not. We provide textbooks for kids and other learning materials. And we, again, don't ask them if their families can afford it or not. It's part of our responsibility as a society to provide a public education for all kids. And so it makes total sense that we start with the lunch and food and making sure kids are ready to learn.
Jill Enderle is State Superintendent of Public Instruction in Wisconsin with us on education funding priorities for the two-year budget. Call in throughout the conversation on state politics and K-12 schools. The number to call with your question, 800-642-1234. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In coming weeks, the state's Budget Writing Committee Joint Finance will put together a spending plan from the base budget. K-12 schools, a major piece of that. We're in conversation with State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Enderle on K-12 spending priorities and reaction to the legislature's work thus far. Join in at any point. Call with your questions at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Superintendent Enderle, you bring up the wave of local school referendums and going to voters. On Thursday, the Wisconsin Policy Forum had reported school referendums this year were approved at the lowest rate since 2010. What do you make of those findings, those results?
Well, I think, you know, the thing about it is costs are up, right, for everything we do. I mean, you look at wages, you look at prices at the store, you look at, I mean, inflation has been really high comparatively. The consumer price index right now, I think, is around 7% for the month of July coming up. And so school districts are grappling with those costs. And the way that it should work is that, I mean, education has been the largest, one of the largest pieces of the state budget. And when the state isn't putting as much in or keeping up with those inflationary costs, school districts have to make up the difference somehow. And so then they have to ask voters to pass a referendum. And I think voters locally, you know, they're paying, you know, their own bills, and maybe, you know, there's, you know, situations are different there too, but there's less appetite, I think, for this increase in local taxes when inflation and consumer price index has gone up. And it's unfortunate, right? I mean, we also are struggling with so many different things, you know, with costs and, you know, getting somebody to come out and, you know, bid on a roof or an HVAC system. I mean, those prices have gone up and they just continue to go up. And so our schools are grappling with that. And they're having a harder time convincing their community to support these tax increases.
Meanwhile, the state is sitting on this projected $7 billion surplus. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is urging caution about tapping that for ongoing expenses or new programs, because who knows what happens down the road with an economic downturn, for instance. How do you think lawmakers should approach using the surplus?
You know, I wish they would put it back into the schools. I mean, when you look at the previous budget, you know, 21 to 2023, you know, they didn't give the schools their increase, you know, that buy-in in because they said, oh, you have got federal dollars, you know, and you can use the federal dollars. So, you know, it's really that the schools have so many needs. We have this massive surplus. If we could use it to help schools get caught up at the very least to where they should be, you know, we could use it certainly also to redefine our school funding formula, make it more equitable, put, you know, index it so that schools get an increase, you know, based on inflation. There's so many things. When we had our Blue Ribbon Commission under previous Governor Scott Walker, and in 2019, they gave out their report. And the Blue Ribbon Commission on School Funding indicated that if we're going to fix how we fund our schools, we need a massive infusion of funds. And then lo and behold, oh my goodness, here we are in 2023 and we have this massive amount in a budget surplus. It could solve so many problems. And I understand, saving for a rainy day and whatnot, but you also have to understand that when you have the money, you should get the things done that need to be done.
But the pushback we hear from some GOP leaders is throwing money at the problem. They're concerned that there's still mediocre test results. Kids still can't read. How do you reconcile with that?
I'm really just that I'm so tired of that argument. Our kids can read. Okay. It's when you look at our schools, they're doing a wonderful job educating every kid. A standardized test is a snapshot in time. I think that it's really an argument that shouldn't carry any further water. And the bottom line also is that in order to get, the best reading teachers in front of our kids in order to make sure that they have the strongest curriculum, all of that costs money. And our legislature has never put money towards literacy. They have had, unfunded mandates before about what our school should be doing, to, whatever it is you want to talk about, but they don't put any money behind it. And our schools need that revenue if they're going to hire staff, if they're going to train staff on curriculum resources for literacy. And our kids are doing fine. They can read, they graduate from high school, they go off and they do wonderful things. And I just am really tired of that narrative that our kids can't read because it's simply not true.
We're talking about school funding in the next budget with State Superintendent of Public Instruction Jill Underley is here. You can join in the conversation. Add your question at 800-642-1234. Republicans control the legislature and, as you know, the influential budget writing committee that is doing the work of writing the next 2-year budget. What are you trying to emphasize in your meetings with Republican lawmakers?
I think there's a lot of common ground, and that's what I'm really, hopeful about. I know that they know that our schools need the funding. They see that our schools are struggling to attract and retain teachers. They know that our communities are having a harder time passing referendum. There's also a lot of agreement on literacy and literacy instruction and how we can fund that better. The mental health piece, of course, I'm sad that that was taken out, but I am certainly hopeful that maybe they can replace it with another way to make sure that our kids are getting the services that they need, so that they can grow up and be healthy, productive Wisconsinites and make the state even better than it is right now. And so I am hopeful. I really am. I mean, we have this tremendous opportunity with the surplus, but they certainly can leave a positive legacy as a legislature, one that we won't forget in our lifetime if they're able to make a difference in public education today.
Let's turn to private schools. Governor Evers' budget proposal would put a freeze on new enrollments in the state's private school voucher program and private school special needs scholarship program. Why cap the number of private schools receiving state aid through parental vouchers?
Well, I think we certainly are at a moment where public schools are at a tipping point because that's where our focus should be. Our legislature is struggling to figure out how they want to fund one school system, one public school system. So we certainly shouldn't be adding, another school system that they have to fund. When you think about it, we serve 850,000 plus children in our public schools. That's where the focus should be. There was also a recent article about exclusion of students, LGBTQ plus students, and students with disabilities by choice schools. And so I certainly just want to make sure that our taxpayers who, they're the ones that are funding the schools, our tax dollars should be going to our public schools because they serve every kid and they meet the needs of every kid.
Quick follow-up here, short on time. Sarah from Viroqua wants to know if public schools are being billed for the cost of vouchers.
Yes, it depends. Honestly, it's a long answer to a question. But our public dollars, you think about it, they allocate it for public education and or education in general. And that amount hasn't really gone up. And so in order to fund vouchers, it comes out of the money that we are supposed to be funding public schools. So every community feels it. It'll just vary based on community.
Superintendent Underlee, thank you so much for joining us.
You bet. This was really great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jill Underlee is State Superintendent of Public Instruction in Wisconsin, elected to the role in April of 2021. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.